This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
All right. Let's talk for a moment. Because it's a Christmas season, I thought it would be helpful to have a conversation. It's going to sound really mean. All right, it's going to sound mean. And I look, sometimes I can be mean. I know that. I understand I'm a jerk. But this is actually not supposed to be mean sounding. And I'm not supposed to bring you down. This is supposed to help get you through the Christmas season we're going into, okay? So because it's the Christmas season, inevitably, you are going to find yourself at a gathering with a Democrat. Maybe this is that Christmas party your office is holding. They'll probably call it a holiday party because this country has lost its mind. But the Christmas party they're having at your office that nobody wants to go to, it's going to be a Democrat there. Maybe, I hope not, but you never know. Maybe you're gathering with family and there's going to be a Democrat there. Maybe it's your liberal Aunt Peggy, mother-in-law, brother, whatever the case may be. Okay, so I got that. You got that? I got that. We're in the season of having to spend time with Democrats. So let me explain something that I think will probably help save you some frustration. That person is mentally ill. And I know how that sounds. Like I'm just being a jerk and throwing bombs. I'm not saying that at all. I'm really genuinely not. For example, there's a story out in the Washington Post. Rosie O'Donnell. You know, she used to be kind of this funny actress. Then she just kind of lost her mind with Trump derangement syndrome. Well, she goes to see a therapist, surprise, surprise, and her therapist told her, you need to stop talking about Trump. Like, it's messing up your mind. You need to stop. Take 2 days off. And Rosie O'Donnell admitted she couldn't last 2 hours before she went back to talking about Trump. 2 hours. Now, why? Well, is it because she's dumb? That's a big part of it. Is it because she's on anti-anxiety medication? Almost undoubtedly, right? All this stuff applies to the Democrat in your life. But it's more than just that. So we have a really dumb person sitting there popping anti-anxiety pills, and then it's the propaganda they consume every day that you ignore, or if you see it, you roll your eyes at it. They don't. That's the point I'm trying to get through. How could you be that deranged? Why is your liberal Aunt Peggy gonna blow up Christmas Eve screaming about Trump and bragging about abortion? But what's wrong with her? Why do her eyes look like that? Because she sits down all day, every day, and she watches stuff like this.
I mean, look, the President of the United States and his Secretary of Defense are conducting murder on the high seas. They're committing murder, and Americans should care. Like, look, none of us like drug traffickers. But we have laws that say that drug traffickers don't get summarily executed. And if it's happening off the coast of America with people that we don't know, just give it time before Donald Trump starts doing this same kind of thing to people we do know right here at home. It matters if the President of the United States breaks the law.
That's bonkers, I know. I know everything you're screaming right now. I'm screaming the same thing. I know you're rolling your eyes. That's ridiculous. That I saw another Democrat went on the news and said, I think it might have been Angus King, and said, how long before he starts executing drug dealers on the streets of San Francisco? Ridiculous. Yeah. A blatant lie. Yeah. All that stuff is true. Your liberal Aunt Peggy believes it. She's an insane person. Now, that means you should adjust how you deal with the insane person. If you think you're dealing with another logical human being and you're going to be able to walk through these issues and kind of logically talk it out, you're going to be so frustrated and angry, and you're going to get in arguments. If you just accept that she's mentally ill. When you look at that liberal Aunt Peggy at your company party, I want you to picture that person just escaped from an insane asylum. Now, would you engage with that person in conversation, or do you just kind of keep your distance? It's trying to save Christmas for you, all right? I have the perfect Christmas gift. I know there are people in your life who are hard to shop for. You're spending time on your phone and they're scrolling through. Should I get them a new sweater? Maybe some headphones or something like that? Believe me, he doesn't want a new sweater. She doesn't want new headphones. What she wants are chips. Delicious chips that she can eat without feeling fat. And that's what Massa Chips are. Massa Chips, you see, has three ingredients. No seed oils, no cancer-causing filth, just good chips. And they're so delicious. I figured they'd be gross when I found out they were healthy. They're delicious. They've become the go-to chip for everyone in my house. We always have a box showing up at the house from Massa. Do you want to experience this and eat chips guilt-free? Wrap them up, put a little bow on them. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Go to massachips.com/JesseTV. All right, so this is going to be an immigration talk. It's going to be about the low-T GOP. It's going to be about all these things. But before I get into specifically immigration, I just want to say there's talk on the right, and there has been for a long time, and on the left, about how we're going to be in a civil war one day. God forbid, right? There's nothing worse. Don't ever root for that, by the way. Nothing worse than a civil war. Read a history book. It's always awful. But there's always talk about it. Hey, I could see we're going to be in a civil war. We're a civil war is coming. We need a civil war. You even hear people talk like that. And again, I just want to emphasize, don't ever root for that. But in some ways, maybe we already are. And a great, great, great thing I can use to point that out is the current arguments over illegal immigrants and illegal immigration. We shift the Overton window in our society to such a point where we don't even realize how insane it is that we're having an argument about something. Entering a country illegally is bad. If you have entered the country illegally, or your visa expires and then you become illegal, you should be deported from the country. Now, I want you to think about what I just said. Is that partisan? You could take just those two or three sentences, however many it were, and take those sentences back to any country throughout history and say that to them. Before there was ever a Republican Party, before it was a Democratic Party, or before there was America, before anything. Don't come in illegally. If you find someone here illegally, deport them. And every country in the history of the world would say, well, yeah, obviously that's the whole point of a border. That's the whole point of having an illegal immigration system of some kind, because that's an obvious point. You don't want people to come illegally. If you find them, you should deport them. Again, not even partisan, shouldn't be anyway. It's a basic truth. But wrap your mind around this. I just can't believe where we are. We have two major political parties in the United States of America. We'll get to the useless GOP in a moment. But one of the two major political parties in the country is committed to bringing in as many foreigners as they possibly can. So committed, they'll send United States planes to foreign lands and fill the planes up with foreigners and fly them into the country. They then will take your money and hand it out to NGOs, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars, hand it out to NGOs to ensure these foreigners are spread all throughout the United States of America. They used your money to create an app, so foreigners could schedule their invasion into the country. That was 4 years under Joe Biden. Now we have tens of millions of them here. And that brings me to the second part of the basic foreign policy, illegal immigration policy, I guess I should say, discussion we're having. Now we have to get them out. But every single area in this country that is controlled by Democrats has dedicated themselves to keeping them all here. Before I even play Zohran Mamdani and the rest of them, just pause for a moment and think about that. we're already in some kind of a civil war. I hate it. I hope it stops here. I hope they back off. I hope we can save the country, but we're not a unified country of 50 states anymore. We're not 50 United States anymore. There are hostile communist city-states inside the borders of our country who have declared in every way war on this country, and I don't know how we get out of this. This is the incoming mayor of our biggest, most important city.
As mayor, I'll protect the rights of every single New Yorker, and that includes the more than 3 million immigrants who call this city their home. But we can all stand up to ICE if you know your rights. If you encounter ICE, these are the things that every New Yorker should know. First, ICE cannot enter into private spaces like your home, school, or a private area of your workplace without a judicial warrant signed by a judge. That looks like this. If ICE does not have a judicial warrant signed by a judge, you have the right to say, I do not consent to entry, and the right to keep your door closed. Sometimes ICE will show you paperwork that looks like this and tell you that they have the right to arrest you. That is false. ICE is legally allowed to lie to you, but you have the right to remain silent. If you're being detained, you may always ask, am I free to go, repeatedly, until they answer you. You are legally allowed to film ICE, as long as you do not interfere with an arrest. It is important to remain calm during any interaction with ICE or law enforcement. Do not impede their investigation, resist arrest, or run. One last thing. New Yorkers have a constitutional right to protest, and when I'm mayor, we will protect that right. New York will always welcome immigrants, and I will fight each and every day to protect, support, and celebrate our immigrant brothers and sisters.
Your disdain, or my disdain for that man aside, that man is about to be the mayor of the biggest city, the most important city in the United States of America. This isn't some communist professor from Berkeley. How do we handle this? We had this lady. She's a state rep from Maine. Keep in mind, the foreigners we're bringing in, this part may be even worse than the other part we just talked about. It's not as if all of them are saying, I love America, I want to be an American, I want to chase the American dream, I want freedom, I've learned all about the country. Not when they're leaving their dumps, not when they get here. And then these foreigners will get here and they'll find a way to get elected from whatever district they happen to be in. And even once they've gotten here and gotten elected in the United States of America, they will still do nothing but crap on the United States of America. This woman's from Somalia.
So coming into the States, everything from the snow to, you know, the housing, the homes that we were all of a sudden occupying, everything was a shock, honestly. Every day was something new, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is just getting worse. Yeah, so.
So what state did you guys learn, first of all?
Kansas City. Of all places, yeah. It was like a boot camp for Maine, basically.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's just like, right, like, I mean, anyone who lives in Maine knows Maine and has ever visited Kansas, they will know what I'm talking about. It's just a lot
interesting
to deal with as a person of color, honestly, yes. Or a black person.
You ungrateful witch. You're from Somalia? And you're insulting Kansas? Did they strap you down when you got to Kansas and perform female genital mutilation on you? I would venture to guess the answer is no, but they do it at a rate of over 90% in that godforsaken hellhole you come from, you witch. But these are the people we bring here. We bring them here, and we just allow them to talk like this in public, and Democrats will bring them here, and then they'll elect them, and then they'll fight tooth and nail to make sure they stay here. And then they'll stand in front of the camera. This is Jaya Powell. They will stand in front of the camera. And I don't just want to single her out. This is a common theme in the Democrat Party. They will look at the American public in the eye. They'll say it to the television set. And they'll tell you that you're not important in this country. This country was built by foreigners.
The majority of Americans across the country regardless of political party, know that immigrants from all over the world, Somalia, India, wherever they're from, Latin America, Africa, that immigrants have built this country and make this country what it is today.
I know we said the same thing as I opened up the show, but I just want you to take a brief moment before we move on and think about what she just said right there. And think about how far we've moved the Overton window in this country, that any politician from any party would get up in front of the American people, in front of the citizens, and tell all of them to their faces, you didn't build this. It was the immigrants who built all this. How bonkers are we in this country? And that, of course, brings us to the party that is supposed to oppose this stuff. They're supposed to be anti-communists in the Republican Party. They're supposed to fight tooth and nail against these savages who are destroying us. And maybe you're saying, well, Jesse, we have states like Maine. We're going to have Susan Collins from Maine. Jesse, she can't be some hardcore right-winger like us. She'd never get elected. And you are correct. I don't think you've ever heard me insult Susan Collins on this show. Susan Collins is what she is. It's not the Susan Collinses of the world who are keeping the low-T GOP low-T. It's blood-red states who send the most disgusting eunuchs to Washington, D.C., who constantly kneecap our efforts, constantly give aid and comfort to the enemy, and exhibit A for this. I could point out my state, Texas. I could point out Oklahoma. I could point out the Dakotas. I could go all the way through the South, because every red state seems to be guilty of this. But honestly, maybe the worst state in the United States of America for sending eunuchs to Washington, D.C. is the state of Utah. Utah is blood red. Utah could elect somebody to the right of you, to the right of me, if the low-T GOP primary voter would get off his butt and get involved and vote in primaries. Instead, we get John Curtis.
So listen, I've learned, sadly, I can't control anybody but me. Right. And the best thing I can do is set my example. And I think all of us need to wake up every morning, look in the mirror and say, what are we doing? What am I doing specifically today to make this country a better country, to make all of our immigrants feel more welcome? That's what we've always had.
We should all be deeply ashamed. Me too. In Texas, we have John Cornyn. Deeply ashamed that we are this apathetic, that we send these dorks to Washington, D.C. It angers me to no end. You know, I got an email from a woman. She was in her 60s, and she was is a tour guide. So she guides people around an area. And she said, Jesse, I used to have to take a nap. You know, she'd have to give people on a tour and then stop and take a nap, because she's just out of gas. And she said, Jesse, since I started taking my female vitality stack from Chalk, I don't nap anymore. I go all day and I'm ready to keep going. Her energy was, she just sounded so happy. That's what natural herbal supplements can bring to you. Male vitality stacks and female vitality stacks. You don't have to be out of gas all the time, in a bad mood, feeling down all the time. You can actually get home at the end of the day and want to do something just because you feel good. 60, 90 days, that's how far you are away from feeling so much better. Go get a subscription, chalk.com/JesseTV.
Last weekend, ICE attempted to raid Canal Street and detain our immigrant neighbors. As mayor, I'll protect the rights of every single New Yorker, and that includes the more than 3 million immigrants who call this city their home. But we can all stand up to ICE if you know your rights. Sometimes ICE will show you paperwork that looks like this and tell you that they have the right to arrest you. That is false.
ICE is legally allowed to lie to you, but you have the right to remain silent.
If you're being detained, you may always ask, am I free to go, repeatedly, until they answer you.
You are legally allowed to film ICE, as long as you do not interfere with an arrest.
New York will always welcome immigrants, and I will fight each and every day to protect, support, and celebrate our immigrant brothers and sisters.
It's just bonkers to me that that goober is not some 20-year-old idiot college student at UCLA. That's about to be the mayor of the most important city in the world. Joining me now, Savannah Hernandez, contributor at Turning Point USA. All right, Sav, well, apparently they're already turning the illegals loose on the streets. I know you spent a bunch of time up there. How are things in the old Big Apple?
Well, Jesse, after getting the Trump administration into office, they are unfortunately exactly the same, because people like Zohran Mamdani get elected for mayor, and then they put out Spanish-captioned videos teaching these illegal immigrants how to, you know, properly circumvent federal immigration law. So I've been down to Canal Street not once but twice at this point, and it is still filled with illegal immigrants, primarily from Africa. It's still a mess in New York City. Let's not forget that around 250,000 illegal immigrants made their way to that city since 2021. The city's already spent about $7 billion housing these people. We put them in luxury hotels. You actually have the Roosevelt Hotel up right now. And, you know, I was kind of doing a little brush up on my past reporting, and the craziest part about the Roosevelt Hotel story that a lot of people forget about is that the U.S. government actually gave $220 million to the Pakistani government, who owns the Roosevelt Hotel, to house those migrants. And instead of, you know, things getting better in 2025, we now have Zohran Mamdani, who is simply doubling down on trying to help these illegal immigrants out, who already got free everything under the sun at the expense of the American taxpayer dollars. He's making sure that they can continue to get that free ride. So truly an egregious crime against the American people, quite frankly.
Sav, because we haven't been there, you know, we haven't walked on Canal Street, we haven't walked into the Roosevelt Hotel. I just can't even imagine the smell, by the way. But can you give us some idea of how these people live? I mean, normal people have to go to work, and they have to go buy food, and the kids go to school. And can you kind of walk us through it? I know it sounds dumb, but most people aren't walking there, and they don't want to walk there. The whole town smells like weed right now anyway. What's it like?
Sure, Jesse. So actually, one of my first stories out of New York was for the Row Hotel, one of the many luxury hotels that these migrants were being put in. And in the Row Hotel, these migrants absolutely trashed the place. I mean, there were alcohol bottles everywhere. There was drugs places. There was water damage in these hotels because the migrants simply didn't care about upkeeping these areas. And so they just completely trashed them. That's what the inside of these areas looked like. And then regarding the government was feeding them. They were getting three meals a day, which many of which they were complaining about because they didn't think that the food was good enough for them. They were getting free Metro cards so that they could ride on the subway. And then you also had the reticketing centers in St. Bridget's. I'll never forget this story, Jesse. We sent an undercover person in there. He asked for a plane ticket to Hawaii. And let's not forget, I want to say it was about it was either like 40,000 to 60,000 plane tickets that were given to illegal immigrants for free from the city of New York to fly anywhere they wanted throughout America because, you know, New York was just so overrun and they were like, hey, let's get him out of here. Let's not forget that Jose Ibarra, who killed Lake and Riley in Georgia, actually flew to Georgia with a free plane ticket from the city of New York. So again, that's what we lived through over the last 4 years. And then we had the Trump administration come into office and promise to crack down on illegal immigration. But, and you know what, Jesse? Actually, sorry, I'm going on a tangent about New York right now, but the DHS just released this press release last week, and it's just absolutely insane. I'm going to read off the numbers for you so I can be exact. So New York State has released almost 7,000 illegal immigrants, okay, from their jails, linked to 29 homicides, almost 2,500 assaults, almost 200 burglaries, 305 robberies, almost 400 drug crimes, 300 weapon offenses, 207 sexual predatory offenses. Keep in mind that has to do with children as well. So these are pedophiles who are not only illegal immigrants, but tied to violent and heinous crimes that New York State inmate had in custody. And ICE was like, hey, can you please hand them over to us instead of re-releasing them back out onto the street so we can deport them? And because New York is a sanctuary state, they were like, yeah, we're just going to go ahead and re-release them and then make the taxpayers pay ICE to go and re-find these people before they hopefully, you know, don't re-offend, but most likely will.
Good God.
Sorry to throw all of that at you, Jesse.
No, I feel like vomiting right now. You tell me, I don't even want to ask, the story about Charles Foner. What happened?
Sure, Jesse. So again, I love New York and I follow a lot of stories out of New York because I think it's important for us to see what's going on over there. So this is a 67-year-old man who was terrified about the rising crime in New York. And because of that, he had a gun to defend himself. Now, a career criminal with 15 priors ended up charging at this man, trying to rob him. He warned the guy like, hey, please do not charge me. And the guy, of course, did. So Charles fired in self-defense. And what ended up happening is he killed this guy, and the first female district attorney of Queens, historic woman here, decided to prosecute him because he had unlicensed handguns. So they didn't prosecute him for killing this criminal who was trying to attack him, but they prosecuted him because he had a gun and he used that gun to defend himself. He's now facing 4 years in prison, probably won't be getting out until he's 71. Worst part about this case as well is that this district attorney tried to keep this innocent man in Rikers until his sentence actually starts in January of next year. So she tried to keep him from actually spending time with his family, you know, ahead of the holiday season this year because he was such a violent criminal, apparently. So that's what's going on in New York City, in New York State. It's horrific, quite frankly.
That sounds awful. Good God. Sav, thank you. As always, come back soon. So much of the communist street animal behavior in this country has corporate sponsorship. It's a fact. You have AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon. These companies hate your freaking guts. And they take the money you give them and they use it against your country and your culture as part of this civil war. I don't have that. I have Pure Talk. My company, they love the country. Their CEO fought for this country, 2 tours in Vietnam. They hire Americans. When they give back, they give to veterans. Switch to Pure Talk. Save money. Keep your phone. Keep your number. Go to puretalk.com/Jesse. Jesse TV. We'll be back. Civil war is the worst thing in the world. Just the worst thing in the world. Not just our civil war. Keep in mind, civil wars, wars that pit one citizen against another, are as old as time itself. And they're just heartbreaking because they're not fought on some foreign battlefield. They're fought on your street, in your school, in your town. Women, children, it's just awful, right? So I've always told you never to root for another civil war in this country. That's a terrible thing to root for. If you're rooting for that, let's just start shooting and get it over with. If you're rooting for that, I would argue you really do not understand how horrible it would be, how horrible the last one was. But speaking of the last one, let's talk about it just for a second here. When did the Civil War start? Was it at Fort Sumter, South Carolina? I guess you could argue that. When it actually started is actually up for debate, but Americans were divided one against another before that. And each side thought the other side was evil and un-American and thought the other side should be snuffed out. It did. You could argue where we are right now as a country is a cold civil war, we want to call it that. Pre-Civil War? God forbid. That's the last thing in the world I want to see, but you certainly could argue that. And I am concerned, if I'm being honest with you, about our ability to navigate where we're at and get out of it without any bloodshed, because I don't want to see anybody get hurt. Not you, not me, not my enemies. I don't want to see anybody hurt. I don't want to see blood, death. I don't want to see it. But the reason I'm having a hard time seeing a path forward that is okay is because our enemy hates the country itself. It's not as if the Democrat Party is your grandfather's Democrat Party, JFK's Democrat Party, or even Bill Clinton's Democrat Party, where, yes, I can disagree and will disagree with so many of their ideas, but it's not a party that actually has declared war on the country where they're trying to rule it. That puts you in an almost impossible situation as a nation. If I want to paint the walls of our house green, and my wife completely disagrees, she wants to paint them all pink. Okay, well, we've got a problem. We're going to have to argue. We'll work it out, maybe come to some sort of compromise. But if I want to paint the walls green and she wants to dynamite the house, well, that's an entirely different problem now, isn't it? Democrats across the country, top to bottom, now regularly talk like this.
We are the world's number one bully. And we're using our immense, unrivaled power to rule over those who have less power. And we're doing it with impunity. And this sends a shocking message to the world that America is indeed what did they used to call the great hand of Satan or something like that? I mean, America under the Trump regime is demonstrating that that moniker was entirely accurate. The great Satan, that's what we have become in this country.
That man is not only a sitting member of Congress, he gets reelected every 2 years, meaning the Democrats in his district, they hear him say things like that and they don't care. He is unafraid to say things like that because the Democrats voting for him feel the same way. At no point in American history could you find either political party willing to say something like that, even if they felt it deep down inside, because they knew for a fact that would be a bridge too far, and then we get voted out of office. But this has now become mainstream Democrat talk. And it's all really about power in the end. What they want is to burn this country down so they can rule over the ashes, to paraphrase, I believe that was Sun Tzu who said that, an evil man will burn his country down to rule over the ashes. That's what they want. And I want to explain something about how they look at power, how they look at unity, for instance. The Vote Latino president, she went on TV, and she said this.
But I think what's most important is that when they see Barack Obama, people remember a time in America where there was unity. They remember a time when there was calm, when they saw that there was actual opportunity for their families. And the contrast between the hate that the Republicans on the MAGA side keep pushing and someone who is very calm and collected and saying, look, this is where we are in America, but we don't have to be. Remember when I was president?
Now, you've heard that before from Democrats. We were unified under Obama. We were so unified. There was no divisiveness. We were unified. Now, of course, every time you hear that, you scoff and you roll your eyes and you remember how hostile Barack Obama was to the right. He sent the IRS after his political enemies. You remember Barack Obama. Barack Obama, the one who actually sent the CIA, FBI after Donald Trump. You remember how divisive, how terrible he was. He created the new racial divide in the country. Racial tensions were almost gone. Barack Obama walked in and started picking at those scabs. Now white people and black people hate each other again. It's freaking terrible. So why would she say something so ridiculous about, we were unified? Well, let me tell you why. Because when Barack Obama got elected and they had the House and they had the Senate and they had a communist finally in the White House, they had all the power and you had none. And for them, that's what unity looks like. When they speak about things like unity, no divisiveness, we're unified. When they speak about things like that, they don't mean the same thing you would mean if you said it. When they talk about unity, what they mean is you don't have any power, they have all the power, and you have to do what you're told. These are evil, evil people. And in fact, maybe it's a good time to discuss what they will do when they take power again. And I don't know when that will be. God forbid it could be 2028, 2032, 36, 40. We keep going down the line. At some point in time, they are going to occupy the halls of power again. Well, you remember what they did under Biden's communist regime, the mass arrest of their political opponents. Donald Trump almost killed twice. Donald Trump charged felony after felony, district after district. They went ape. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, my gosh, that was evil. That was terrible. We can never let it happen again. And that would be the correct way of thinking. But it's really, 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 really important for you to understand Democrats don't regret what happened at all. The only lesson Democrats top to bottom learned from the evil things they did under Joe Biden is that they didn't go far enough. That's the only lesson they learned. Gavin Newsom's staff just posted this AI video on Twitter, X. Yeah, that would be Donald Trump, Pete Hegseth, Stephen Miller in handcuffs crying. You think what they did before was bad? Oh, they have plans for when they take power again. They're going to take the lessons they learned and they're going to apply them. It will be a horrifying time if they ever come back. And of course they will one day. And how did we get here? Well, the mass importation of foreigners is a big reason we got here. It just is. That's why Democrats love it so much. Importing disloyal, unpatriotic foreigners imports the ultimate Democrat voting base because patriotic citizens don't vote Democrat. There's a reason the Democrats in your neighborhood don't fly American flags. They hate the country. And so where are we as a country? There was actually a clip from today that just sums it up perfectly. This congressman from Michigan, Sri Tandahar, I don't know, some character from Indiana Jones. He, of course, came here from India, has luxuriated in this country, made a fortune in this country. He's now an elected official in this country. And this foreigner got to interrogate Kristi Noem today. Kristi Noem, who's been in charge of deporting foreigners. Here's how that went.
I am sick of your lies. The American people are sick of these lies. American people demand truth.
America is very happy that finally they have a president in the White House that gets up every day to keep them safe.
Madam Secretary, your incompetence and your inability to truthfully carry out your duties of Secretary of Homeland Security, if you're not fired, will you resign?
Sir, I will consider your asking me to resign as an endorsement of my work. Thank you very much.
Boy, doesn't that just perfectly sum up where we are in Western civilization? A foreigner we allowed to come to our country, reside in our country, eventually gave citizenship, got him elected in our country, now sits and interrogates the DHS secretary, asking her to resign for what? For the crime of deporting foreigners. And maybe the saddest part of this entire thing is this. That's the Democrat Party. The only hope we have, I guess I should say, at opposing them is the GOP. And these are the kinds of people the GOP elects.
Do you think he would be a good president?
Yeah, I do. I have to tell you, I think I'm very biased towards governors. I think governors make the best presidents. I just do. I think for this very reason, we always say that potholes aren't partisan. As governors, we actually have to accomplish stuff.
Pathetic. We are at a place now where the wealthiest, most powerful man on the planet can't go out in public.
We did something extremely ordinary, like go to Target or CVS.
I can't go to things with as the general public because there's an immediate, can I have a selfie line that forms, and these days, you know, particularly in light of Charlie Kirk's murder, there are serious security issues. It's not that I don't want to, I simply can't.
Has Charlie's murder changed how you do things? Or were you already locked down pretty well before that?
It certainly reinforced the severity of the situation where life is on hardcore mode. You make one mistake and you're dead. And it only takes one mistake.
Why are we here? It's not the right. It's not Republicans. It's not patriotic citizens. We're here because Democrats are soulless evil demons who believe they're fighting a righteous revolution, and they will kill on behalf of the revolution, and they will kill in large part because influential Democrats on TV, social media, tell them to.
I challenge somebody to go and find a clip of a Democrat invoking violence.
Let's extinguish him for good.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
We're going to fight it in the courts, and we're going to fight it in the streets.
When they go low, we're going to bury them below the Capitol. That's what we're going
to
do.
We take them to the mud and choke them out.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
We're walking down a damn different path. We're fighting fire with fire. We're going to punch these sons of in the mouth.
I'd take you behind the gym and beat the hell out of them.
Now punch back, kick back, dunk over their heads, and win some power.
Fight back, punch back, and make sure that they stay down. And you know what? Kick them when they're down, because they deserve it.
I think that you punch. I think you punch. I think you're okay with, you okay with punching.
We are at war. And that's why the gloves are off, and I say bring it on.
We are not only going to punch you back, but we are going to knock you out.
Like, we're in a war right now to save this country, and so you have to be willing to do whatever is necessary in order to save the country.
Well, I am here to tell you, not only are we going to punch back, but we about to beat you down.
And shut down the city! We are at war!
When they go low, we kick.
Even in states where Donald Trump won big, that it does you any good running away from Donald Trump, I think you need to go back and punch him in the face.
Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
An ugly place to be. A cold civil war. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And I'll be honest, I'm unreasonably excited for Jasmine Crockett's Senate run in the state of Texas, because it's going to provide so much entertainment for you and me. And I'm not going to spend a long time on it because we're going to hear so much about it. But just know, this was her introduction.
Let's get into it.
Okay. She ain't never scared if she ain't never been. Who is willing to go toe-to-toe against the president? I can't wrap my head around someone who votes Republican. She advocate for feeding kids. They protect folks touching them. Trump invading his own country with our army. What a joke. We remember Pearl Harbor by illegally bombing boats. What y'all thought we wasn't gonna do nothing, buddy? Think again. They only trying to scare out of running because they think she'll win. Listen, thought I told y'all we ain't never scared. Now look who name on the docket. Got two words for every racist bigot. Jasmine Crockett.
Y'all hear the words.
Me, I hope my money goes to side that isn't trying to say affordability's a hoax. She stand on business, Austin.
She does, in fact, stand on business. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.